This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Portland often search for historical treasures far from home, when the treasures we seek is right beneath our feet. So it is with Portland's Golden West Hotel. An institution of the Black community, straight out of the annals of Portland's history. With me to explore that history is Will Bennett, community activist, practitioner, futurist, historian, all those things. And we'll be back to talk about the Golden West Hotel project and its history here on It Takes a Village, on KBOO Community Radio. Welcome, Mr. Bennett. Glad to have you here at our microphones, and glad to have you here in KBOO Studios.
Good Welcome. Morning, Shaheed. Thank you.
Good morning. The Golden West Hotel, many of our listeners may or may not be familiar with it. Give us a sense of its significance to the African-American community and to Portland in general.
Well, first of all, it's the oldest standing African-American landmark in Portland. And, you know, it was established and it was bought by W.D. Allen in 1905. And then the Golden West became established in 1906 as a place for African-Americans to stay, mainly Pullman porters, red caps, etc., railroad workers, to stay at because they were denied accommodations at white-owned hotels. Mm-hmm. So that's what it got it established. And then it became a mecca, you could say, a community mecca, a meeting place, a community center. And every Sunday, everybody show up after church and chit and chat, and it was a time to look forward to every Sunday to go to the Golden West Hotel.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you get involved in this Golden West project, and what is it basically?
Well, the Golden West project, in 1989, Mrs. Catherine Bogle, Dick Bogle's mother, established a group called Friends of the Golden West. And I was able to retrieve some documentation from the Oregon Historical Society, and it kind of outlined the goals and objectives. So I don't know what happened to the group, but it is dispersed, and I don't know. But they did accomplish one thing. They got the name changed back to its original Golden West. And then there is other things it needed to do, so that's how the Golden West started. It's just a renaming. Instead of saying Friends of Golden West, I say Golden West Project. Mm-hmm.
The Golden West Hotel itself was known as the Broadmoor. Had its name changed to Broadmoor. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe that happened in about 1942-ish. Mm-hmm. After a failed attempt, the Golden West was closed during the Depression, and then it tried to reopen as the new Golden West for about 3 years, say, and that didn't happen. And then it was bought, and it changed to the Broadmoor, mm-hmm, up until 1989.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a fascinating exhibit at the hotel when you pass by Northwest Everett and I believe Broadway. And the exhibit celebrates the rich history of the Golden West, the former center of African-American social and business life in the first decades of the 20th century, it says. Primary funding for this project was from a Vision into Action grant by the City of Portland. Additional support provided by the Oregon Council of Humanities. The City of Portland seems to have taken an unusual interest in this. I mean, I think for the better, an unusual interest in this historical site.
Yes, a lot of when they first became aware of its history, they labeled it as little known history, because most people was thinking a word Portland was, you know, a liberal place. It's always been that way, but generally you should be liberal if you're white. But that is it's little known history.
It says in 1906, from 1906 to 1931, when black entrepreneur W.D. Allen, who you mentioned, launched the Golden West Hotel in 1906, Portland was booming. The completion of the Transcontinental Railroad, the opening of Union Station, and the Lewis and Clark Centennial Fair triggered a flood of visitors and workers to the city's bustling North End. The Golden West was designed to serve the black railroad porters, cooks, barbers, and waiters recruited by the major railroads. It provided all the conveniences of home for black workers, denied, as you mentioned, accommodation in the Portland's white-owned hotels, and was the center of African-American social life until the hotel's closure in 1931. It's quite a history. It's quite a history in terms of going back to 1906. And
yeah, most people, you know, we go back generally in our community. I've gotten mm-hmm. this response several times. A lot of times, they only go back to Vanport.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that we were been here a lot longer than before 1906.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. A lot of times when you hear black history, it's like you say, we just go to Vanport and start from there instead of going back further, even to the Depression, and seeing how black life and African-American life was germinating at that time.
Like you were saying, Portland became a boom town. You know, not only railroad service jobs were needed, but, you know, service jobs in general were needed. Mm-hmm. So it was like a big opportunity in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Was that the only place that they lived?
There were other boarding houses and other hotels around the area. Mm-hmm. A few different hotels that catered, like in particular, I forget the name of it right now. But anyway, it was owned by Japanese, mm-hmm. and they catered to our community. Mm-hmm. But no, it was not the only place.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that surprised me was the little known, like you said, the little known history. And I would wager, and this is so important, what is so important about African American History Month is the majority of blacks today, I think, are not aware, as I was not aware, of the history of the Golden West and its significance.
You know, that's part of my passion, is because I didn't either know. I grew, raised, and born here 52 years, didn't hear a bit of the story. Mm-hmm. So that kind of just got me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of triggered me into going into the Portland Public Schools and seeing just what are they? Because I think there's some federal requirements that they got to put some local history into their curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, they was only putting in Vanport stuff, mm-hmm. generally, and that was left up to the discretion of the teacher. Mm-hmm. But now it's required that, you know, that mm-hmm. they do some of the sort.
Yeah, you know, I talked about that, and it's interesting. How did you get that? How did you get that requirement?
Well, I said when I initially saw the original display, it was weathered, neglected, etc. So, and it was reflective of how we was feeling about our history in general. No one was taking care of it. So anyway, I saw a little logo on the banner, so I want to see who's responsible for this neglect. So I got the Oregon Historical. So, and then for somehow, I told them about it, and they kind of was concerned about the legal complications or legal implements. So they was concerned, and so they did a little research. So they had nothing to do with it anymore. Mm-hmm. But they had deposited at that time when they installed the display a little packet of information. And that's where I got this, the potential charter member list of the Friends of the Golden West. And it had like 22 organizations, no, 11 organizations, 22 individuals, their goals and objectives, Friends of the Golden West, Friends and Objectives. And so part of on their goals and objectives was to integrate more of our heritage and culture into the system. Now, so that's what I got the idea. Oh, let me go on over to Portland Public Schools and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And they included the curriculum in how far in all of the
Portland wanted Public them to schools? Put Portland's racist history. But they adopted a book. It's called, I believe it's the End of the Oregon Trail or something of the sort, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which it explains some of Oregon's, but that will lead on to Portland, I suppose. That's good, you know. So the school board voted that in.
Mm-hmm. And now, I believe you said this is the only one in the state?
The only, oh, it's the first school district in the state to incorporate Oregon's racist history into their curriculum. This mm-hmm. was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's still the only one. So I still got a little job to do. You know, Florida had to pass legislation to get mm-hmm. get such things done, which I don't know why they just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. The history of African Americans in the city of Portland indeed is a very, very tough sell. I know you had Michael Grice involved with you.
Yeah, Michael Grice actually is, he kind of got this started back in 1990. He came down and saw that they were rehabilitating the building. He got excited because he got, you know, his family, his father was a red cap. Mm-hmm. And he got excited, went and got Sheldon Hill. I don't know if you're familiar with Sheldon Hill, but Sheldon Hill was once the director of the Urban League. So they went and got Mrs. Bogle, and then that's how Friends of the Golden West got established. And like I was telling you about the potential charter member list, Grice was also on that list, and so was his organization, World Arts Foundation, Inc. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm kind of taking up where, you know, picking up the pieces. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like people say, well, what did you do? I'm just a catalyst. And this stuff was all in place, and I'm just kind of, you know, stimulating it up a bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We noticed you had a celebration, a project. It was really when I think an official, some sort of an official opening.
Unveiling. Yes, that okay, was at Carlton and Hart architectural firm, which is just right around the kitty corner from the Golden West. Mm-hmm. Bill Hart. I don't know if people are familiar with him, but he does quite a bit.
He does. He's one of the only black architects in Portland.
And he's but anyway, that's where the unveiling was, and it was I didn't attend, but I hear it was quite an event for the history world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking with Mr. Will Bennett here on It Takes a Village. I'm Shahid Hamid, and we're talking about the Golden West Hotel, an artifact that deserves recognition, particularly during this time, a place where African Americans congregated and got involved with a whole host of activities, and we're going to talk more about those activities when we come back in just a moment. Stay with us. Welcome back to It Takes a Village. I'm Shahid Hamid, and I have with me Mr. Will Bennett, working with and discussing the Golden West Hotel project and its involvement in the back in African American community and from a historical perspective, and a lot of information we like to just make sure we recognize during this month. Will, Central City Concern is the owner of the building. I know they are the new owner of the building, and they're cooperating fully, buying and preserving the building. How did that come about?
They're now full owners of the building.
They're full owners of the building. And I think it's significant to mention that in addition to the historical context in which the building exists, the work that Central City Concern is doing with it is significant. In addition to being the new owners, they chose to preserve the building. They have a...
And not only that, to... I don't want to say expose, that's kind of a harsh word, but to reveal Portland's racist history, mm-hmm. right there, bold on Broadway Street. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some of the notable people that I was reading some of the bio for the Golden West. Some of the notable people that used to come through. You had mentioned a lot about the railroad workers and black railroad workers and cooks and barbers and the like.
Senators.
Entertainers. And they had people like A. Philip Randolph, Congressman Oscar DePreez, E.D. Kennedy. Give us a sense of the history of the buildings and the time and the folks that visited the building.
We don't know much about that. That is, we're in contact with an Allen family descendant, W.D. Allen, the owner, his mm-hmm. great-granddaughter to be specific, and there's boxes of stuff that W.D. Allen's son, W.D. Allen Jr., left. So, you know, we're looking for that guest book But the, like you said, like the, you know, I can't really give you details. I don't know any details except what you just read of the particular people that stayed at the hotel. I know it was a home. It was actually a home to several people. I believe who was that? Did the our first African American paper?
Newspaper?
Yeah, what, Advocate wasn't Advocate, was it?
Yeah, it was Advocate.
Kennedy.
Yeah,
I believe I believe that became his home.
Portland Advocate newspaper founder and famous Portland hotel hat check man E.D. Kennedy. So it really deserves. We just wanted to thank you because it really deserves mentioning.
And part of the goal and objectives of the Golden West was get the name changed. But number two on the goal was to prepare the building for the National Registry. This was in 1990.
What's the significance of that?
It has not been prepared for the National Registry. Matter of fact, it's not even an official Portland landmark. Okay. So, that is an objective.
That's the
goal.
Next objective and next goal.
What else? I got some other. There's some other one. Also to do that, and also to locate other buildings and of African American significance, landmarks and buildings around town. So, and my website www.AfricanAmericanHistoricalDistrict.com. I've had that for 5 years, so it's a statement. And so, also not only to put the building on the National Registry and the local registry. But to establish a historical district. So I don't know quite how we're going to go about that. I don't know, a business district perhaps around the Golden West Hotel, which was thriving at one time. Or, but anyway, there's other districts. You know, they gave us a little 2x4 area between Russell, Broadway, Vancouver, and Williams. You know, that little stretch of area, the designated ghetto that they was going to give us. That could be a historical district, but or jazz. Oh, jazz used to be Portland used to be a jazz hotspot.
Used to be
Jump Town. Oh, it still is. They revived. They're going back to their legacy. If we're going back, coming back to our legacy. Yes. So, what jazz a historical district? But anyway, so those are some other goals.
Well, you mentioned goals and you know, getting it on the National Registry. What does that mean? What does that do for
Well, for one, they can't tear the building down.
Okay,
that's one, and it would put it on the parks. I believe it's the registry, National Landmark Registry, is Bureau of the Parks. So it would become a tourist destination. I could say that. There's a lot of benefits. I don't know what else what the other benefits are, because I haven't really looked that into that research yet.
Well, I think it's really significant that the Central City Concern again has taken up preserving that history, preserving that building with the display. The history of the display around the building itself,
and the display.
And
did I tell
audio,
you
the audio and vision?
Oh, good audio,
and,
yes.
Yeah, and the panels that you have. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's the audio. Why don't you mention the audio on the Broadway side of the building? There's the audio component. Body senses you, and it will kick in the story, and this same thing can be seen online. Which I like the online version somewhat better. But
if you get the online, what's the?
It's interactive.
Yeah. Okay. What's the website or what's the site?
Well, the best way to get to it is goldenwest.wordpress.com, and then you'll see a emblem that's saying something about the Golden West is online. Click that, and then that will take you to the actual place, which is the Central City Concern website.
Okay, well, Lewis and Clark, I know we had mentioned something about Lewis and Clark.
Expo.
Yeah. Are they involved at any length now with the Golden West Project or with the Golden West Hotel?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, because I know Dr. Darrell Milner of Portland State University did the audio for the display that anyone can see located at Broadway and Northwest Everett, and he does a real good job talking about the history and talking about the significance of it.
Yes, I still do tell people, you know, it ain't Black history till Dr. Milner says it is. So it's highly endorsed.
It is highly endorsed. Well, again, we want to thank you for coming down on and.
And also, can I mention that
absolutely.
You know, more telling of the story can be seen at All Aboard at the Oregon Historical Society. It should be running up until the middle of next month.
Okay, and All Aboard is focusing on the railroad workers, or
yes, railroad workers and lifestyles around that time, and it focused, I do believe, around Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
The theme is
Black businesses in North End. In the North End, you have one. You have a flyer that talks about the railroad and its significance. And
yeah, there's a little example of a historical district. That map, which I'm glad they put that in there because that kind of helps a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, anything else you want to make sure that we cover just before we. Bit off fair.
No, I just want everybody to enjoy Black History Month.
Mm-hmm. And make an effort to find out about the history right here in Oregon and right here under our feet, as I mentioned earlier in my opening. So, Will Bennett, thank you so much for helping to preserve this history, and anything that we can do, by all means, please let us know, because it's a history that needs to be transmitted. It needs to be in the curriculum of the Portland Public School System, and whatever we can do to further that objective, we're more than happy to do. Thank you so much for coming down.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yours truly, Shahid Hamid, here on It Takes a Village. And the first Friday of every month, we're here doing what we do best, and that is communicating with the best audience money can't buy. KBOO 90.7 FM. Until next time, peace. We out.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. Coming up is... This pre-recorded announcement.
At 7. KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of Winterfolk, Portland's largest annual folk music event, and a benefit for Sisters of the Road. Winterfolk will celebrate their 25th anniversary on February 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee, and features Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary, The Rite of Spring, Beth Wood, Sky in the Road, and many more. Again, that's Winterfolk, Saturday, February 2nd at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, a benefit for Sisters of the Road. More information can be found at kboo.fm